Well, now at this time we will turn in our Bibles to our scripture passage for our sermon this morning. You'd open your Bibles with me to Psalm 46. The title of this sermon is Relax, God is in Control, a message that I think we all need to hear in our present day. I selected Psalm 46 because it is a great psalm of comfort for God's people. As you turn to Psalm 46, you'll notice in your Bibles that there is a title there, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. This is a psalm that was written to be sung by God's people, a psalm of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were active during the time of King Hezekiah. In fact, most commentators understand this psalm to be written in response to that great deliverance that God provided to his people when Sennacherib came and threatened Jerusalem. And yet God sent his angel, and one angel left 185,000 members of Sennacherib's army dead on the field. And it was revealed to Israel as they went out at daybreak that God had given them the victory. And they didn't do anything for it. It was all in God's hand. And so here is this great recognition of who God is and what he does. And this is also that psalm that Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, is based upon. We'll reference that as we go through this sermon. So as we read this, know that this is a recognition of who God is as our refuge and strength. It is a recognition of what God has done, and it is a call or a command from God, not only to us, but to everyone, to all the nations, to be still and know that I am God. So now let us give attention to God's word as we begin reading in Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. God, bless this word to us this morning. We need to know now more than ever that you are our refuge and our strength, our very present help in time of trouble. And help us, God, not only to hear these words, to understand them, but may they sink deeply into our hearts. May you write them upon our hearts. May you calm our spirits with them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When my oldest son, who is now going to be 9, was about 6 weeks old, we took a trip on an airplane. We went to Washington, D.C. for my sister-in-law's wedding. And as is usual on an airplane, they tell you to fasten your seatbelt in case of what? Turbulence. Well, we experienced turbulence on this flight. Turbulence like I've never experienced before. I was glad that I had my seatbelt on. I was sitting there, and the plane was ride was going along smoothly, and yet all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this turbulence came. I had coffee, and it went straight up. It hit the ceiling. It went all over me. It went all over people in multiple rows. It was showering coffee down upon everyone. I came up out of my seat, and I was so thankful that I had that seatbelt on. It's the only time in a plane that I've ever been lifted from my seat. But all of that was not what concerned me the most. I wasn't concerned about losing my coffee. I wasn't concerned that I was jostled around. I was concerned about my six-week-old son. You see, my wife was on the plane, and my oldest daughter was on the plane, but they both had seatbelts. He did not. He was riding on his mother's lap. And so as I came back down in my seat, I recall looking over. They were in the other aisle. I recall looking over and wondering, is he all right? Is he all right? And as I looked over, I saw that he was indeed all right because he was safely in his mother's arms. She did not let go. And there's nothing like a mama bear, is there, to protect their young one? Well, I want you to know that God is likened to a mother who protects her child. Isaiah 49, shall a mother forget her child? The scripture says, if a mother will not forget her child, neither will I, your God. I will not forget you, my people. And God proves this care over and over and over to us again and again, doesn't he? No one can snatch us from his hand. No turbulence can shake us. Nothing can separate us from his love. And that's the message that we need to hear today, certainly, don't we? We need to hear this message because we are living in turbulent times. You turn on the news and you see it, and you may feel like I did on that plane. All of a sudden, things are going along, life as usual, and then the turbulence hits and everything changes. You don't know when it's going to end. Just like my coffee went everywhere and rained down upon me. Just like I was lifted from my seat. And I wondered, is everything going to be okay? You may be wondering that as well. Is everything going to be okay? Is everything going to be okay? But I want you to do exactly what I did on that plane. I looked and I saw that my son was safely in his mother's arms. So I want you to look, not to another person, but to God himself, who has you in his arms, who has never let you go. Indeed, he doesn't only have you, but he has your family. He has the world. He has everything. Everything in his hands. There's nothing outside of his control. Now, even though that turbulence that I experienced was unpleasant, even though it was fearful at the time, I was fearful for the safety of my family, even though I lost a perfectly good cup of coffee, even though all of that happened, guess what? We landed safely, and we're alive today. And so I want to tell you that we are going to land safely. No matter the turbulence that we face, God promises that we will land safely. And be encouraged by that. God's perfect will for you continues on no matter what is going on outside of your control, because God is in control. And so I want you to know this morning, as we think about Psalm 46, that just because we live in a world full of turbulence doesn't mean that we have to live with hearts full of turbulence. Just because we live in a world full of turbulence doesn't mean that we have to live with hearts full of turbulence. In other words, no matter what turbulence is going on out there in the world, and we certainly know that a lot of it is going on, it does not have to come in here. It does not have to come into the heart. Because we dwell with God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted all the time to allow the out there to come in here. But we are commanded here not to do so. That's difficult. And so I want to see first how difficult it is when we think about relaxing and understanding that God is in control. It's difficult to relax because the world is the world. We don't live in a very relaxing world. But then I want to show you that it is possible to relax because God is God. The world may be the world and it may be difficult to relax, but God is God. And so it is possible for the Christian to relax no matter what is going on around them. Now we see from this psalm that it is certainly difficult to relax because the world is the world. The world is full of turbulence. Look with me at verse 2. Right after the psalmist introduces this with this great statement, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. He lists the reasons that we might be tempted to fear. Nature is full of turbulence. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now here is a reversal of creation. Think of creation in Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. God then is separating the waters from the land. The land, the mountains are coming out of the waters. And here there's a reversal of creation. The mountains, those things that are the strongest, the highest in the world, are now going back. And the language here says that it goes back into the midst, the middle, the deepest part of the sea, those unfathomable reaches. The highest mountain is placed into the deepest of seas. What a picture that is. And you may turn on the news in our day and see many things going on, but I do not think you've seen a mountain picked up and thrown into the midst of the sea. And so think of the comparison here of what is going on in your life right now. And this picture of the greatest of calamities. Mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. Waters roar and are troubled. So the waters themselves, the sea themselves, not only are the mountains being thrown down, but the waters are roaring up. But then we see the nations are also full of turbulence. We see both creation in general and then humanity. In verse 6, the nations raged, much like that water that roared up. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. And all of this is going on in our world. And today we see it, don't we? You cannot but turn on the news today and witness what may to you feel like mountains being cast into the midst of the sea. What may look and feel to you like nations that are raging against God and His kingdom. How do we handle this? How are you handling this right now? These are stressful times. You are in the midst of a turbulent and unstable world. And I want to give you hope in the midst of that. I want to show you through Psalm 46 how we as Christians are called to handle this world. And the way that we handle it is that we remember that although the world is the world, God is God. It's no problem. Be still, God says to the entire world. Be still and know I am God. And so while it is difficult to relax in the midst of this world, it is possible to relax because God is God. Just as nature is churning, nature is full of turbulence, we see that God is the answer to that because God is the God over all creation, isn't He? Even though creation may seem out of control, nothing is able to overrule God's sovereign control. That's what we see here, isn't it? Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, that does not come in. And that does not overrule God's will. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. He's sovereign over nature. He's sovereign over the nations. Yes, the nations may rage in verse 6. The kingdoms may be moved. Many people out there are agitated. And yet here's what God says. Verse 6, He uttered His voice and the earth melted. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The language here of uttering His voice is simply saying a single word, a single statement, even opening His mouth to speak, and nations in the earth melt. It's like that sun coming up on very little snow, and that snow does not remain. Neither will the nations. Neither will anything that opposes God. God, like the sun, comes out, and He speaks, and they are gone. The same voice that said in creation, "Let there be light," will say, "Let there be no more darkness." And it will be. Luther understood this in that great hymn that he wrote. The mighty fortress is our God. He says of the devil, that supreme enemy of God, one little word shall fell him. One little word. God comes in Christ and fights against our enemy. So even though creation may seem out of control, God is not. God is not outside of controlling all things. But even though the earth changes beneath our feet, God never changes. Here we're told that the earth be removed, the earth be shifted itself, and we lose all stability. It does not matter because God is our stability. You turn over to Psalm chapter 102 and verses 25 through 27. It's a reminder, Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. I want to remind you of who God is. Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And we see there the contrast between those things which change, which God himself changes in creation, and who God is who never changes. So as you have everything around you changing, don't worry about it because God does not change. And so as you're experiencing everything that you're experiencing right now, I want you to compare what you are experiencing with these statements. The earth shifting beneath your feet. Mountains being cast into the midst of the sea. What we're experiencing today pales in comparison to what's described here. And yet, God provides for that. How much more will he provide for us in what we are facing today? He is the God who is sovereign. He is the God who never changes. So even though everything around us may feel unstable, we do not have to lose our footing. Because we do not stand upon the world, but we stand upon the Word. And we stand upon God and who He is. But not only is God then God over all creation, and chapter 46, Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God," first and foremost is addressed to creation, to the nations, to those who are raging against God. He says, "Be still, cease and desist." The Hebrew word translated "be still" is literally "let down your arms, sag your shoulders, relax." God says to the nations, "Put down your arms against me. Do not fight against me. Know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth." But there's also great comfort for us as God's people in those words. Because God speaks to his people here. God says, "I'm the one who's going to tell all of creation to be still. They're going to know that I am God. And because I am God, I am your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And because we have this truth, we as God's people know this, that we have both the duty and the privilege not to fear. We have the duty and the privilege not to fear. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things?" That is, all things that may happen to us. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Well, the answer is clear. If God is for us, who is sovereign and in control of all things, nothing can stand against us. And so, as God's people, we have the duty and privilege not to fear. Matthew Henry puts it this way: "The spiritual comforts which are conveyed to the saints by soft and silent whispers, and which come without observation, are sufficient to counterbalance the most loud and noisy threatenings of an angry and malicious world." And that's what we're hearing today. We're hearing all of this noise, all of these noisy threatenings of an angry and malicious world. And yet, God comes and he whispers to us, "I am your refuge. I am your strength. I am a very present help in times of trouble. And he says that in the context of the earth being removed. Even though the earth is removed, I am your refuge and your strength. Even though everything, all of your earthly comforts are removed from you, God remains your refuge and your strength. He is your source. Now, many people have taken refuge in many things, whether it's money, job, health, their family, their reputation. All of these things are what the world looks to. Are what the world looks to for refuge. But they're all unstable, aren't they? And many people are seeing that today. You look at the stock market. It's not stable. You look at our own health. It may not be stable. But our stability, our refuge, is not found in any of those things. And right now, even though all of those things may be being swept out from beneath our feet, it does not matter. Because God is our refuge and our strength. And I want to challenge you, have you made those things your refuge and your strength? And I think at this time we're going to see people who have, and it being revealed by God, that people have been relying on things they ought not to have been relying upon. When those things are pulled out from under you, you will learn very quickly if you have made those things your refuge and your strength. And if you have, then now is the time to say, forgive me, God, for trusting in those things. I understand that you alone are my refuge and my strength. And so perhaps your health, even right now, is deteriorating. That's not where your refuge and your strength is found. Perhaps your job, you've lost your job. That's not where your refuge and your strength is found. Perhaps you're having difficulty in your family. That is not where your refuge and your strength is found. It is found in God alone. Martin Luther again knew this. As he wrote that hymn, he said this, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." His kingdom is forever. So even though all of our earthly comforts are taken away as the earth being removed, God is our refuge and our strength. Even though all of the waters threaten to overwhelm us of the cares and concerns of this world, God turns the tide. Look at this. In verse 3, the waters roar and are troubled. And yet, look at the contrast in verse 4. God turns the tide. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. God turns the waters of distress into the waters of blessing. Think of the time of the flood and Noah. Those waters were distressing to those who did not listen to Noah. But to Noah and his family, those same waters lifted him up in the ark, which pointed us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and lifted him up above all the cares of the world. And so even now, as these things are happening, know that God is turning the tide. It's fascinating that our Lord Jesus does the same thing. Remember, the disciples are with him in the boat. We might say that they were hearing the waters roar and they were troubled and this storm was happening. And yet, what did Jesus do? They woke him up. "Lord, we are perishing." And he spoke, "Peace, be still." And the waters were still. That's what God does for his people. The waters that roared in verse 3 became a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God in verse 4. And he does that in his church, verse 5. God is in the midst of her, that is the city of God. She shall not be moved. What a great promise that is. God is in our midst. We will not be moved. No matter what comes against us, no matter the enemies that threaten to overpower us, we are safe within the walls of God's city. He is our refuge and our strength. This speaks to the establishment of the church, built on that unmovable rock who is the Lord Jesus Christ. That foundation that ensures that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. This also applies to you, those who trust in Christ. This applies to your heart. God is Emmanuel, God with us. He has then come to dwell in you. That's where your foundation is found, because God is with you. So whether you're at home or out and about, no matter where you are, you know that God is present with you. And what a great source of comfort that is. And so as we think about these things, we have to understand that this God who is our refuge and strength is one who is a very present help in trouble. The language in the Hebrew behind this is that he is found easily. He is never far off, but he is found by us. Now, how do we walk this out practically? How do we relax in turbulent times? It's one thing to know this truth about God. It's another thing to put it into practice. And I want to give you some practical things. The first thing that I want you to do during this time is to fill your days with prayer to God. This is first and foremost the way that you are going to experience God as your refuge and your strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Look with me at Proverbs in chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Run to God. Flee to Him. And the way to run to Him is to run to Him in prayer. The New Testament speaks of that. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Jesus instructs us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And so now is the time to seek God, to come to Him, to find Him, because He's present. Seek Him in prayer. Fill your time and your days with prayer. Fill your mind with God's Word. Turn off the news. I'm not telling you not to watch the news, not to get important updates, but the news cycle is a never-ending churn of worry. That's what it is. And you're going to hear the same story over and over and over again. You need to be in God's Word more than you need to be on the television. It's important. You need to replace the global news with the good news of the gospel. We need to be people of the book. So fill your days with prayer to God. Fill your mind with the Word of God. But then I want you to fill your mouth with songs to God. Sing to God. This is crucial. God has given us music to lift our hearts, to lift our spirits. And that is one way that you can do this. In fact, it is said of Martin Luther, that great reformer, that when times during the Reformation were dark and dangerous, and he was terribly discouraged and even depressed, that he would turn to his friend and his co-worker, Philip Melanchthon, and he would say, come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm. Paul, in prison, does what? He sings. Utilize this great gift of God and sing to Him, and your spirit will be lifted. All this to say, if you want to relax in turbulent times, you must spend more time with God than you do with the world. You must spend more time with God than you do with the world. It's the only way. A friend recently told me very wisely that we as Christians need to be thermostats, not thermometers. Now, what do thermometers do? They take the temperature around them. And if you're out there in the world, you're going to start to be influenced by the world. You're going to become like that thermometer. You're going to be taking the temperature, and that's going to affect how you relate to everything. But what does a thermostat do? A thermostat is the opposite. A thermostat controls the temperature. And so if you're a thermostat and you are plugged into God by spending time in prayer, by filling your mind with His Word, by filling your mouth with His praise, then you will, as you go out into the world, influence the world for Christ instead of being influenced by the world. Your worry will decrease. And not only that, you will be a source of comfort to others. You see, we need to be those who have been with God who know the peace of God, so that we can bring the peace of God to a world in turmoil. But if we fill our hearts up with fear, we become useless to the world. So do not fill your hearts up with fear, but fill them up with faith. Because we need that faith now more than ever, don't we? Just like I, on that flight, was lifted from my seat, my coffee was taken right out of my hands, you may also feel like things are out of control. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen a week from now? In 3 months? In a year? You may fear that something terrible is going to happen to you, to your family. You may feel like I did on that plane. Is my son okay? It may seem like the world is spinning out of control around you. But I want you to remember this. Even if the world were completely undone, God is God. He is in control. It may seem like the enemies of God are gaining the upper hand as we see unbelief in the world. But even if they were to exhaust all of their strength, it wouldn't matter, because God speaks one word and the earth melts. God is God. He is sovereign. So God tells us here, first and foremost, to the entire world, be still and know that I am God. He says to the world, those who are raging against him, stop working against me. It is useless. I am God. Surrender now while there is still time. And if you're hearing this and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is the call to you. Be still and know that I am God. Submit to me now. And I will become your refuge and your strength. But here's what God says to us, his people. For those of us who are in Christ, he says, stop trying to save yourself. Be still. That's the problem, isn't it? We see a problem and we think we've got to do something to fix it. God says, be still. I'm in control. I have got this. Relax. It's very difficult to play God, and we are very poor at it. God says, don't play God. I am God. Be still and know it. Look to me as your refuge and your strength. Know that I am very near. I am easily found. I am your present help in trouble. You know, as I looked at my wife and my son on that airplane, and I saw that he was safely in her arms, my heart rejoiced. And that's what I want you to do as you think about our world today and as you apply Psalm 46 to your life. I want you to look to God. I want you to remember that you and your loved ones, indeed everything in this world, is safely in his hands. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for your word. We confess that we have often looked at the world and all of its turbulence, and we have allowed that to come into our hearts and to cause us unnecessary fear and worry. Forgive us for that, and help us to apply this word to ourselves in these days, that we might look to you and understand that you alone are our refuge and strength, that you alone are our very present help in trouble. And so, God, we hear that great call, that great command, be still and know that I am God. And we also recognize that all will heed and hear that command, because you, God, will be exalted among the nations. You are the God who will be and are even now exalted in the earth. Bless us, and may your name be glorified in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.